Hot Ride.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melon heads of the world. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Today's December 31st, 2025. Happy New Year and happy new silver margin requirements. Oh, man, they did it again. For the second time in 3 days, the CME Group has hiked margin requirements on my favorite of the shiny, silver, along with the other shinies. Metals making headlines once again. So what happened? Shout out to my friend Bob Coleman, CEO of Idaho Armored Vaults, frequent guest on this channel. He posted it early yesterday that the CME Group was raising margin requirements for silver, platinum, palladium, and gold. Notably, the silver margin requirement was being raised by 30%. That's after they raised it by 13.6% just on Monday, the second time in 3 days here. So why do we care? What is margin requirements? All right, that's the amount of cash that you're required to keep in your account if you are trading silver futures, whether you're long or short. And right now, it looks like more people are long than short, which is why the price has been moving higher. And so when the CME Group raises margin requirements, they basically get a phone call and say, hey, Jack, put more money in your account. Otherwise, we're going to liquidate you. And so I have a choice. I can come up with the cash, sell some other asset somewhere else, or just try and make the transfer, or I can reduce my position, sell my silver futures in order to raise the cash to keep some other position alive elsewhere. In other words, it is just an arbitrary rule change that forces selling in the silver markets. And they have now done that two of the last three trading days. And why did they do it? Probably because the margin increase that they gave us on Monday, it was effective, right? It took the silver price, got slammed down more than 10 bucks on Monday. But then yesterday, we were talking about how the market just gobbled up that margin increase and was resuming higher yesterday. Silver was ripping yesterday. And then, of course, they're like, all right, well, they didn't get the message the first time. Let's hit them again. CME raises requirements once again. They did it to gold. They did it to platinum and palladium. This is tamping down the enthusiasm. We saw this in 2021 during the first silver squeeze. Is this going to be effective? Right now, it looks effective. Silver has sold off a couple of bucks here. It's down about $6, trading between $71, $72 the last time I looked. But there's also other things going on elsewhere in the market, like silver is in backwardation once again. The price in New York is still about 50 cents. I'm sorry, the price in London for silver right now, still about 50 cents more expensive than the price for silver in New York delivered in March. Right? That's known as backwardation when future silver gets cheaper. The future stuff is supposed to be more expensive because of the question of what might happen during that time decay. So with the silver in backwardation over in London, that is still indicative of a physical shortage developing. Also, we've got the cost to borrow SLV shares. SLV is the iShares Silver Trust. It's the biggest silver ETF. It's not technically an ETF, but everybody calls it an ETF. The cost to borrow is getting more expensive, which means more people are shorting it. Again, indicative of a shortage of SLV shares. Again, shout out to Bob Coleman, who spotted this. So there are some indicators in the market that there is a shortage developing and that it's getting worse, even as the exchanges are taking these steps to try to tamp down enthusiasm for the trade. Ultimately, right now, it translates into lower prices. Will the market gobble up this margin increase and resume higher later on like they did with the last one? I don't know. This was a big margin increase, a really big one, 30%. So there's going to be a lot of forced selling. We'll see what happens when the market opens up and the bell goes ding. I'm guessing we're going to see a lot of red, and then maybe we start to recover towards the back half of the day. Or maybe the market just says, F you, do it again. Thank you, sir. May I have another? And we just grind higher from here. Now, another story I'm hearing a lot about, and I'm getting this sent to me a lot, is about how China is restricting silver exports. Oh, China just banned the export of silver. This is it. This is the big BRICS thing, and, you know, the de-dollar trade. Yeah, they did that, and it's certainly going to be putting some further liquidity stress on metals. But to be honest with you, I'm not as gung-ho about this whole China banned silver thing as a lot of people are. I'll show you guys why that is. It's certainly going to make a mess in markets, but let's also keep in mind that the United States may come out and do the same thing. We may come out and say, you know what, tariffs on silver, which is going to mean all the metal in the world is going to want to flow into New York ahead of those tariffs. And then that kind of leaves, oh, London. What happens to them? If there's already a shortage developing in London and the Chinese put this restriction on exports and then the U.S. put tariffs causing a drain of metal into New York, that might make the shortage in London even worse. So it could make a mess. But again, I'm not so excited about that China silver restriction. I'll show you guys why. Also, something that's probably contributing to this move in silver, although I don't think it's the number one cause, the Fed minutes that just came out yesterday. Now, they're making this article in CNBC, in my opinion, is complete BS. They're making it seem like, oh, there was this tight split over the decision to cut rates, and so many of these Fed governors were torn, and they couldn't make up their mind, and it cast doubt about future cuts. Who are they kidding? Who are they kidding? We all knew you were going to cut. You knew you were going to cut. You're going to cut again. And it's not even about interest rate cuts at this point because you just turned the money printer on. Why are you even pretending to be conflicted? It's just a silly political dog and pony show because the Fed doesn't want to be seen as bending over backwards for President Trump. Also, we've got SoftBank has completed their $41 billion funding commitment to OpenAI. They did it with, about 12 hours to spare before the end of the year. And they did it largely by tapping into their line of credit, leveraging their shares of Arm Holdings. So, you know, Project Stargate will be moving ahead. But SoftBank is way out on the leverage limb to come up with that money. I'm sure that's going to end really well for them. We've got NVIDIA is buying an Israeli AI company called AI21 for $2 to $3 billion. We'll talk about that merger and what they might or might not be hoping to accomplish there. It's a company that's got about $50 million worth of revenue. So they're paying something like 40 to 60 times sales for this company that has no profit. Okay, good luck with that one. Also, we've got a story in CNBC this morning about $160 million of restricted export-controlled chips being sold and smuggled into China against the law. That thing that isn't happening just happened again. Whoopsie. Just a reminder, while we're sitting here debating about the export controls, it's like NVIDIA doesn't even really care about them because they'll sell to anybody, even if it is obvious that the end user is going to be a Chinese company. Also, the Chinese have bought $8 billion of the promised $12 billion worth of soybeans they told us they were going to buy as part of the not trade deal that we came up with a few months ago. In other words, they did not meet their commitments, even though this Reuters article is trying to make it sound like they did meet their commitments. They didn't, not even close. And even still, the commitment was only about half of what they normally buy. So again, U.S. farmers kind of left in the lurch here in this trade war, taking the heat for everybody. And we're still talking about that and the soybean thing. And then breaking news, just coming out a few minutes before I went live, China just slapped slapped tariffs on U.S. beef. So new tariffs. I thought we were playing nice in the sandbox with the Chinese. Oh, that's right. You can't trust the Chinese Communist Party because they'll do what they always did. Just say whatever they want or say whatever it takes to get you to give them what they want, and then they'll go do whatever the hell they want anyway. You got to love it. What else we got going on? A lot of China news today. A lot of trade war news today. The Chinese are grabbing EV market share in China, selling EVs for below cost, dumping them into the European markets. It's not making the Europeans very happy. And the Europeans have put tariffs on those EVs. It doesn't matter. They're still flowing in there. Also, that Nexperia story is back this morning. I thought that was behind us. Apparently not. China has accused the Netherlands of mistakes over Nexperia. Oh, mistakes. You don't say. That was a pretty severe accusation there. Remember, the Netherlands basically seized the company from Chinese ownership over concerns about technology being leaked to the Chinese. And then the Chinese said, screw you, you take my company, you get no parts. European automakers were like, crap, we can't get the chips we need for power door locks, power windows, all the low-tech stuff that is packed into Western cars. And supposedly they sorted that out back in November, but apparently not because they're still fighting in the press this morning. So we got that going for us. And even as all that's happening, a gaggle of Japanese CEOs has canceled their annual trip to China because the Chinese government didn't want to talk to Japanese CEOs because they still got their panties in a bunch over the comments that Sanae Takeuchi made about how Japan may have to come to Taiwan's aid should the Chinese invade. And this is just a reminder to all the Z-bots who flood my comments every time I say anything about China, that Taiwan is a country, you mad? Oh, that's sad. Yeah, Taiwan's a country, and they don't want to be part of your stupid communist country. So you want to start World War III over that? Apparently they're gonna. And the Japanese said, well, we might have to help the Taiwanese. And Chinese just didn't like that. And so we're canceling our business meetings. Oh, this is great. Gotta love it. Hey, guys, don't worry. We're 60% of the way through this decade now. Only 40% to go. What's the worst thing that could happen in a little less than half of the 2020s? Oh, man, don't answer that. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what's going on in the world of finance today? As always, don't forget that like button. And you new guys, hit that subscribe button for the YouTube algorithm so you can come back and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this every day except tomorrow. Tomorrow's a holiday. Markets are closed. So there won't be a show tomorrow. We will be back regular time Friday morning. However, you guys are just going to have to go without your melon fix for a few hours. Right now, the S&P 500 is higher by about 5 points, 0.08%. The Dow is also just barely positive, up 4 points or 0.01%. And the NASDAQ is leading the way higher, up 32 points, 0.13%. Stocks were down most of the morning and now grinding slightly higher ahead of the open. The Dixie is a little bit higher here, 10 basis points to the upside, 98.33, slightly stronger dollar this morning. Looking over at the bond market, we got yields are moving higher, not really going anywhere in a hurry. The 30-year yield is at 4.829%. That's higher by about a point and a half. The 10-year is at 4.154, higher by 2.5 points. The 2-year yield is at 3.473%, higher by almost 2 points. And the 1 month is making the big move here, 3.588, up by almost 4 basis points this morning, possibly reaction to some of those Fed minutes. Looking over at Bitcoin, we are trading at $89,036, a little bit higher than we were yesterday. Some interesting things I want to point out on the hourly charts. It looks like the whales are playing their stupid games again. We have seen this a couple of times. Somebody comes in with a big buy, and then people FOMO in. They're like, oh, this is the big move, buy. And then the same guy just sells. Thank you for the exit liquidity. Rinse, repeat. Just keep an eye on that one, guys. Bitcoin, I think it's going a whole bunch of nowhere over the next couple of months, if not lower, sharply lower. But I think some of these Bitcoin 200,000 by the end of 2025 predictions, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say we're not going to hit $200,000 before the end of this year. But Tom Lee remains hopeful, and they still have him on CNBC like every freaking day for some reason. Looking over at the commodities board. Oh, look, we've got a little green shoot in the gold market. Isn't that just adorable? All right. Gold seems to be taking this move, this margin hike in stride. Spot gold, $4,341. That's up $3 or 0.08%. Gold futures on the COMEX, though, they are down here, $43.55. That's off by about $30 or 0.7% following the margin hike, which we'll talk about in a moment. Spot silver, $72.63. That's lower by $3.65 or about 4.75%. March silver futures on the COMEX, $72.15, down by $5.75 or about 7.4% lower. All right, so silver is off its lows of the morning here. It's still, though, pretty big sell-off here, 7%. It might be a small move by the last 2-day standards, but take away the last couple days, this is a big move lower. Still holding above 70 here. Also note, we've got about 50 cents of backwardation. That London price, 72.71, still higher than that New York price in March at 72.26. So we've still got the backwardation going on there. More on silver in just a moment. But first, we've got copper is lower by 1.75%. Platinum is lower by 8.8%. Big move lower in platinum. Also saw their margin levels increased. Same thing with palladium, off by 5.25%. And crude oil grinding a little bit higher here, up by about a quarter, $58.18 for February WTI futures. All right. Thank you to Bob Coleman, who posted this one yesterday. And again, I've had Bob on the channel a lot, guys, at Profits Plus ID on Twitter. He is probably the single best account to be following on FinTwit when it comes to gold and silver. He is not an alarmist. He's not one of those the end is nigh kind of guys. He's a pragmatist. He tends to keep his head even when everybody else is freaking out, which is why I think he's a good account to follow. He had this one within a couple of minutes of the story breaking yesterday. Gold, silver, platinum, palladium futures alert. CME hikes margin rates a second time in a week. Massive increase. Gold's margin was increased by 9%. Silver's margin requirements, 30%. Platinum's by 25% and palladium's by 22%. All of these are effective as of this morning. So we are seeing some forced selling here. This is a 30% margin hike, guys. That is a big one, especially considering they raised it 13.6% just 2 days ago. So what are we looking at right now? The silver for silver futures, you're looking at $32,500 worth of cash you got to post. That was $20,000 just 2 days ago, or 3 days ago, we'll say, as of Friday's close. So they're doing everything they can to tamp down that enthusiasm. Now, something else that Bob Coleman flagged yesterday was the cost to borrow SLV shares. All right, we're looking at Chart Exchange here, and right now there are 10 million shares of SLV available to borrow with a fee of about 1.83%. Now, that's not alarmingly high. During the shortages that we saw in October and November, the cost to borrow SLV shares was up around like 20% at one point, and there was nothing available to borrow. So this is nowhere near as intense as the shortage that we saw in the fall of this year. But what I do want to draw your attention to is this middle column here. These are some of the data points going back over roughly like every 3-4 hours. You'll notice 1.83, that's the current level. We were as high as 2.33%. But you'll notice yesterday in the morning, we were only about 0.8%, 0.78, 0.8, 0.83, 0.80. Before that, 0.58, 0.58. So over the last 24 hours or so, we've seen the cost to borrow SLV shares more than triple. Again, still not an alarmingly high level, still plenty of shares available at that level. But this is showing some liquidity stress building up in London, is my interpretation of what this data is showing. And when you view this in the context of that 50 cents of backwardation that we're seeing between London and New York futures, that tells me that this move by the CME group to tamp down that enthusiasm is no accident, that they are worried about liquidity strain in the silver markets. So is this enough? Who knows? But we've also got this one going on. China to restrict silver exports, echoing rare earths playbook. A lot of people, especially some of the BRICS guys, are getting really excited about this one. China is set to tighten controls on silver exports from Thursday, expanding restrictions on the once ordinary metal critical to the U.S. industry and defense supply chains. Tesla CEO Elon Musk criticized the move over the weekend on his social media platform X, responding to a post about the upcoming restrictions. "This is not good. Silver is needed in many industrial processes," mainly industrial processes that he is engaged in, Musk wrote. But the rules are not new. China's Commerce Ministry first announced these new restrictions back in October to strengthen oversight of rare metals. That's on the same day U.S. President Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping met in South Korea. At the time, Beijing agreed to a one-year pause on certain rare earth export controls while the U.S. rolled back tariffs. How's that going? Earlier this month, China released a list of 44 companies approved to export silver under the new measures in 2026 and 2027. While China hasn't explicitly announced a blanket ban on silver exports, the state-run Securities Times on Tuesday cited an unnamed industry insider who said the new policy formally elevates the metal from an ordinary commodity to a strategic material, placing its export controls on the same regulatory footing as rare earths. The EU Chamber of Commerce in China found a flash survey of members in November that a majority of respondents have been or expect to be affected by those Chinese export controls. The U.S., meanwhile, added silver to its nationally designated list of critical minerals in November, citing its use in electrical circuits, batteries, solar cells, and antibacterial medical instruments. A separate U.S. analysis said China was one of the world's largest producers of silver in 2024 and also home to one of the largest reserves. China exported more than 4,600 tons of silver in the first 11 months of the year, far more than the roughly 220 tons of imports during that time, according to Wind Information, citing official figures. All right, so why am I not so excited about these Chinese exports? Oh my God, China exports so much silver. Well, yes and no. This is from OEC, and this is showing on this left-hand chart here. This is the countries that export silver ore, actually the silver that is dug out of the ground. And then over here are the countries that import silver ore and concentrates. Now, this is 2023 data. we can assume it's at least similar for 2025. This is the most recent data available. Now, you'll notice here the big exporters of silver ore, not necessarily the refined product, but the ore. Mexico, Bolivia, and Peru are the big producers. Argentina, the U.S., Russia also up in that list. But China barely registers. Here's China down here, this little box. China does not export much silver ore or concentrate. As a matter of fact, China is the biggest importer of silver ore. So even though China exports most of the world's refined silver, all of the material that they use to make that refined silver, they have to import. So if China just suddenly decides we're not going to export silver anymore, that doesn't mean the world is suddenly out of silver, because China doesn't control the silver supply chain. They still have to import everything they refine. And while that may cause temporary disruptions in the market, you could very easily have other smelters in other parts of the world step up and start buying the ore from Mexico, Bolivia, and Peru if market conditions allow for it. And if the Chinese just suddenly become this black hole that silver ore disappears into, never to be seen again, then you're going to see Mexico, Bolivia, and Peru start to sell their ore somewhere else. So China doesn't have the stranglehold over the silver supply chain like they do with some of the other rare earths, where they both dig it up and refine it within China. They're still dependent on those South American exports. And we could very easily say, China, you can't have those. If you think I'm kidding, pay attention to what happens over the next few years in this decade. Meanwhile, silver is selling off this morning, but we're off our lows. We're looking at hourly candles right now. Most of this current sell-off happened after that margin requirement was announced yesterday. We did sell off. Watch this $70 level here. We came, we challenged it there, we challenged it there, we challenged it again this morning. 70 is still holding, although that support gets weaker every time it is challenged. So it's now been hit three times, but 70 is the level I'm watching. Looking at the gold chart, gold still looks okay here. This is, we're looking at hourly candles going all the way back to the beginning of September, the end of August, which is when gold had this rip your face off rally from about 3,300 all the way up to 4,500. And you can see that support is holding. We dipped below it this morning, but currently back above this trend line. So I'm not terribly worried yet about the effect these margin requirements are having. We'll see what happens after the bell rings. And the gold to silver ratio has been very volatile these last few days, currently sitting at 59.9. We fell as low as 56.4 yesterday. Again, the big hike in the requirements for silver saw a much bigger margin increase on silver versus the other metals. So I'm not surprised to see the GSR heading higher this morning. Meanwhile, Fed minutes show officials were in a tight split over December rate cut. I think this is a silly article. I think it's all fake, and I'll tell you why in just a moment. The Federal Reserve on Tuesday released minutes from its highly divisive meeting earlier this month, which concluded with a vote to lower interest rates again that appeared to be an even closer call than the final vote indicated. Officials expressed a variety of opinions during the December 9th and 10th meeting, according to the summary provided a day ahead of its customary release due to the New Year's holiday. Ultimately, the FOMC approved a quarter percentage point cut by a 9-3 vote, the most dissents since 2019, as officials debated the need to support the labor market against concerns about inflation. The move lowered the key funding rate to 3.5% to 3.75%. Most participants judged that further downward adjustments to the target range for the Fed funds rate would likely be appropriate if inflation declined over time as expected. With that, though, came misgivings over how aggressive the FOMC should be in the future. Officials expressed confidence that the economy would continue to expand at around a moderate pace, while they saw downside risk to unemployment and upside risk to inflation. The extent of the two dynamics divided FOMC policymakers, with indications that the vote could have gone either way despite the 6-vote victory for the cut. A few of those who supported lowering the policy rate at this meeting indicated that the decision was finally balanced, or that they could have supported keeping the target range unchanged, the minutes said. All right, why do I think this article is stupid? Because this wasn't even close. All right, they're sitting here like, oh, some people weren't really sure they wanted to cut interest rates. Oh, three people voted against it. Yeah, well, one of them voted for a 50-point cut. All right, so that's not really a vote against a 25-point cut. That's a vote that says I want an even bigger one. All right, so really you had two guys were opposed to cutting rates. Oh, but some of the people who voted for cutting rates weren't really sure. Well, it doesn't matter if they weren't really sure or not. They voted for it. And the last thing I would say is, if we were really so split, if we're really so torn about this dovish policy move, why did they flip the switch to turn the money printer back on? I don't care about the 9-3 dissents. Oh, the most divided Fed we've ever had. That was the most dovish outcome of an FOMC meeting since they went berserk in 2020. And these minutes, the story, like, oh my God, there was so much debate and everything. This is a stupid political dog and pony show because they don't want to be seen as bending over backward for President Trump, who is on TV pounding the table saying he wants more rate cuts because he just wants to juice asset prices higher so he can act like the stock market is somehow indicative of his poll numbers. It isn't. He hasn't gotten that message yet. This is just stupid, guys. This was the most dovish outcome of a Fed meeting in years. The idea that they're trying to make this sound hawkish is just ludicrous, in my opinion. Meanwhile, SoftBank completes $41 billion investment of OpenAI, deepening bet on AI. I don't want to spend too much time on this. There was some doubt about whether SoftBank was going to be able to pull this one off or not. They did it by tapping into and almost completely consuming their line of credit that they had taken out, borrowed against their ARM holdings. ARM Holdings is the British chip maker that SoftBank bought, and they basically put all of those shares. They own like 92, 93% of the shares in ARM Holdings, and they put all of those shares up as collateral for this line of credit that they have now drawn down in order to give the money to OpenAI. So if for whatever reason this investment in OpenAI doesn't pay off, I don't know, maybe because OpenAI loses money like crazy, like at an alarming rate, if for whatever reason they can't recover that investment and they can't make their debt service costs, they would have to sell their ARM holding stock in order to pay for that debt. And when you own 90% of the float, you ever hear the comment, you are the egg guy? Yeah, that means ARM holding stock would just absolutely crater if they ever got margin called. So pay attention to that one. SoftBank just made it by the skin of their teeth with less than a day to go before that commitment had expired. And in a strange one yesterday, NVIDIA in advanced talks to acquire AI21 in $2 to $3 million deal focused on talent. This is kind of interesting. Chip giant NVIDIA is in advanced talk to acquire AI21 Labs, one of the few Israeli startups developing a large-scale language model for artificial intelligence, Calculus has learned. According to estimates, the deal could be valued at $2 to $3 billion, up from AI21's last known valuation of $1.4 billion, set during a funding round completed in 2023. AI21 completed a $300 million funding round earlier this year, led by NVIDIA and Google. The company never officially confirmed the round. However, its valuation was not disclosed. Estimates at the time suggested the valuation had not risen significantly. Now, here's what's kind of interesting here. A lot of people are drawing in or zeroing in on the fact that this was an Israeli company, and NVIDIA has bought several Israeli companies this year. And that is interesting. But what I find interesting is what they're paying for the company here. This company doesn't really do much. The company's flagship enterprise product, Maestro, is designed to improve large language model accuracy by up to 50%. In recent months, AI21 also introduced a new reasoning model that it says is faster and more efficient than competing systems, reducing memory consumption. Despite these efforts, estimates suggest the company's annual revenue remains a modest $50 million, far below the multi-billion dollar revenues generated by leading AI competitors. So $50 million in revenue, and they're being bought for $2 to $3 billion. That means NVIDIA is paying 40 to 60 times sales for this company. That is an obscene valuation. Guys, what this is an acqui-hire. They're not buying any products because this company's products kind of suck. That's why they don't make any money. They don't sell very much product. They're buying the talent, all right? This is another one of those acqui-hires. They're paying about $150 million per employee for this AI21 Labs. And look, they're buying a large language model. My first guess when I saw this story was NVIDIA has this massive commitment where they need to rent all of the unused GPUs from CoreWeave if CoreWeave ever finds themselves unable to rent those to somebody else. So let's say NVIDIA ends up paying to rent all these GPUs. Well, then what the hell are they going to do with it? I don't know. Better go out and buy a large language model, because at least then we can be like, okay, here's all the compute you guys need. You guys use it. So it looks like NVIDIA is buying this company so that they have somebody to give the chips that they're renting to the chips that they're basically renting from themselves from a company that they own. So in my opinion, it's another circular deal when all is said and done. But just really overpaying for this. NVIDIA stock, though, didn't care. Up $2.50, $190 this morning. Full disclosure, I am short NVIDIA. And we got another pretty big one here. How $160 million worth of export-controlled NVIDIA chips were allegedly smuggled into China. Oh, that thing that never happens happened again. Would you look at that? On December 8th, federal prosecutors in Texas unsealed documents that revealed an investigation into a massive smuggling network that stretched across the U.S. and the world. Dubbed Operation Gatekeeper by the feds, the investigation wasn't focused on drug smuggling or stolen goods, but rather an alleged secret underground network of suppliers for NVIDIA's graphics processing units, or GPUs. Such chips are the backbone of the AI race and can be used for military or civilian purposes. The government said a hidden smuggling ring was sending chips to China in defiance of American national security export control laws. The smuggling syndicate allegedly involved operatives illegally entering the United States, phony front companies, and a secret warehouse shipping operation in New Jersey that was penetrated by at least one undercover agent working on behalf of the U.S. government. As they gathered facts, the government sent an undercover agent into a warehouse in Secaucus, New Jersey. There, the person allegedly witnessed suspects relabeling NVIDIA GPUs with branding for a phony company they called Sandkyan. The shipping and export paperwork, the government said, misclassified the goods as adapters, adapter modules, and contactor modules, contactor controllers, sorry. Operation Gatekeeper culminated in a dramatic scene at the New Jersey warehouse on May 28th as three trucks hired by the conspirators pulled in to pick up the smuggled chips. In near real time, a user in a text chain allegedly used by the conspirators messaged that one of the truck drivers transporting the goods to New Jersey warehouse reported that police officers had appeared at the scene and were asking questions about the cargo's destination. According to the text, conspirators told the drivers to just say they don't know anything. 5 minutes later, according to prosecutors, one of the conspirators sent another message to the entire text thread: dissolve this group chat, delete everyone. Soon after that, prosecutors said federal agents swooped in and secured the high-tech equipment, preventing the goods on site from being shipped to China. The case comes amid a flurry of similar busts regarding unauthorized NVIDIA exports in recent months. The think tank Center for New American Security estimates that between 10,000 and several hundred thousand AI chips were smuggled to China in 2024 alone. So there you go, guys. That thing that never happens, it just happened once again. Meanwhile, China buys two-thirds of pledged U.S. soybeans as 2025 closes. I mean, this is it. This is the last day of the year, and they only bought 8 million tons. Or was it? Yeah, 8 million tons. They said they were going to buy 12. Well, it looks like they didn't hold up their end of the deal. A shocking turn of events. Oh, wait, this just in. The Chinese did not hold up their end of the deal. More news at 11. China has bought at least 8 million tons of U.S. soybeans this year, according to people familiar with the matter, putting the world's top importer on track to meet a pledge it made 2 months ago as part of the apparent trade truce with Washington. I don't get how they arrive at this. Bloomberg, how can you say they are on track to meet the pledge they made 2 months ago when they have only bought 8 and they said they would buy 12 this year? That means they have 1 day to buy 4 million tons. The White House said immediately after talks between President Trump and the Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping that China had pledged to buy at least 12 million tons of U.S. soybeans by the end of this year. U.S. officials later clarified that the deadline was in fact the end of February. Oh, so that's why they're on track, because we moved the track. We changed it arbitrarily to make it look like they were doing what they said they were going to do. They're not. Beijing has not confirmed the commitment, but the Chinese government has moved to reduce tariffs on the crop and lifted import bans on three American exporters. And even as we sit here trying to make it look like China held up their end of the bargain, we got this one just this morning. China imposes curbs on beef imports to protect domestic industry. More shots at U.S. and other farmers here. China will impose an added 55% tariff on beef imports that exceed quota levels from key supplying countries, including Brazil, Australia, and the U.S., in a move to protect the domestic cattle industry slowly emerging from oversupply. China's Commerce Ministry said on Wednesday the total import quota for 2026 for countries covered under the new safeguard measures is 2.7 million metric tons, roughly in line with the record 2.87 million tons it imported overall in 2024. So new tariffs on U.S. beef, just as they don't hit their agreement to buy U.S. soybeans, American farmers once again in the crosshairs of the Chinese. And it's not just agriculture where they're making a mess. China takes record share of Europe's EV market in November. This one is pissing off the Europeans. Not going to lie. There's a lot of talk about overcapacity in China right now, and it looks like they're dumping that overcapacity into European markets. Chinese car makers captured a record 12.8% of Europe's electric vehicle market in November, building on gains made this year despite the cost of European Union tariffs. In the fastest growing hybrid car categories, Chinese brands resumed their rise, surpassing 13% across the EU. That's according to EFTA countries and the UK. Brands led by BYD and SAIC Motor, along with newer entrants such as Chery Automobile and Zhejiang Leapmotor, I'm sure I said that one wrong, have redoubled efforts to crack the European market this year. Overcapacity in China has fed the export push as manufacturers seek a release from relentless price wars in their domestic market. Mainland China automakers have largely absorbed the extra fees that the U.S. imposed on Chinese-made EVs in late 2024, while pressing into areas unaffected by the new tariffs, such as hybrid models and non-EU markets like the U.K. So these Chinese EVs, they're producing them so cheap that they're just eating the tariffs, and they're still gaining market share here. And this is as these Chinese automakers are under a lot of pressure from the government in China to produce less cars because they're selling them at a loss, causing deflation, which the Chinese government is trying to combat. And we've got more China auto trade war problems this morning. The story that just won't die. China accuses Netherlands of making mistakes over chipmaker Nexperia. China has urged the Netherlands to swiftly correct its mistakes over chipmaker Nexperia and restore stability in the global semiconductor industry in the latest development in a dispute over technology transfer. In September, the Dutch government invoked a Cold War era law to effectively take control of Nexperia, a Chinese-owned chipmaker based in the Netherlands. The unusual move was reportedly made after the U.S. raised security concerns. In response, China moved to block its products from leaving China, which in turn raised the alarm among global automakers as they face shortages of the chipmakers' components. On Wednesday, a spokesperson for China's Commerce Ministry said that the Netherlands should immediately correct its mistakes and clear the obstacles to restoring the stability of security of the global semiconductor supply chain. I thought this story was over. Apparently not. What is perplexing is that faced with the anxiety and unease of the global industry, the Netherlands remains indifferent and stubbornly insists on its own way, showing absolutely no responsible attitude towards the security of the global semiconductor supply chain and taking no substantive action whatsoever, said the Chinese spokesperson, who's saying how selfish of the Netherlands. They should do exactly what we want them to do. A spokesperson for the Dutch government was not immediately available to comment. Auto industry groups have said that disruptions in the supply chain for Nexperia have not yet been fundamentally resolved, meaning that component availability remains uncertain. Japan's Nissan and German auto supplier Bosch are among the firms that have warned about looming shortages. Speaking to CNBC last month, a spokesperson for the German Association of the Automotive Industry, which represents Volkswagen, Mercedes, and BMW, among hundreds of others, warned of elevated risks to supply, particularly for the first quarter of 2026. Well, that's tomorrow, isn't it? Crap. I thought we were done with this one, particularly for the first quarter. All right, keep one eye on Nexperia, guys, especially if you own shares in Japanese and European automakers. Also, Japan CEOs halt annual China trip for the first time in 13 years. Oh, this decade, it just won't quit. A prominent group of Japanese executives has put its planned visit to Beijing on hold, a sign that a diplomatic feud is chilling commercial ties between Asia's two largest economies. The delegation of some 200 business leaders will skip the trip originally scheduled for January 20th, the Japan-China Economic Association said on Wednesday. The organization cited challenges in securing meetings with Chinese officials and said no rescheduled date has been decided. The move marks the first time in more than 13 years that a political standoff has disrupted the annual mission to promote economic exchange, signaling Beijing's continued frustration with Prime Minister Sanae Takeuchi's comments on Taiwan. Under the current state of Japan-China relations, we have made sustained efforts to make this delegation a reality, the association and organizers said in a statement. However, we found it difficult to secure sufficient exchanges with Chinese government agencies, including meetings with national leaders. The trip has happened every year since 1975, except during the pandemic and in 2012, when relations hit a low due to a diplomatic crisis over disputed islands in the East China Sea. That visit was postponed, but eventually took place the next year. Asked about the shelf trip, the Chinese Foreign Ministry repeated Beijing's condemnation of Takeuchi's erroneous remarks. In a regular press briefing, spokesman Li Jian urged Tokyo to retract the comments to create the necessary conditions for normal exchanges between China and Japan. Yes, the Chinese got very offended when Japan said that Taiwan was a country and that they might help them out should China decide they want to conquer the island. Taiwan is a country. You mad, bro? And just a reminder, everybody, we are now 60% of the way through this decade. Only 40% of the 2020s left to go. What's the worst thing that could happen in 40% of this decade? Don't answer that. I expect a quiet 2026, at least geopolitically. Venezuela remains a big thing. 2027, in my opinion, is the year you really got to watch out for. But hey, we got four more years left of this decade. I'm sure it's going to be just fine. You guys are going to love it. Hey, I want to say thank you very much to Snowman, who gifted not 10, not 20, but 30 Nobody Special Finance memberships this morning. He did it in increments of 10 thrice. He did it three times. Welcome, you 30 new Melonheads. Thank you so much, Snowman, for supporting the channel once again. I really appreciate that very much. And just a reminder, guys, you Melonhead members, use those super chats and I will read and respond to your questions live on the air. And while we're welcoming the new Melonheads, thanks again, Snowman. I want to say a very special welcome to Ann Donahue. Welcome, Ann, to the Melonheads, also a new member. Thank you so much for supporting the channel. Uncle Fenster says, Happy New Year to Jack and the Melonhead family. Happy New Year to you as well, Uncle Fenster. Everybody, please have fun tonight. Enjoy responsibly. Be safe, everybody. Thank you so much, Uncle Fenster. Happy New Year to you as well. Steve Woitis says, Happy New Year. My 2026 resolution, be a better Melonhead. Mel, Mel, Mel. I agree. Let's all be better Melonheads in 2026. Whatever. I don't know what that means, but yes. I shall strive to improve thyself. Thank you, Steve Voidus, for supporting the channel. The Dad Dan, thank you, sir, for the generosity. Thank you for supporting the channel. He says this and 100,000 Melon coin to kickstart the Melon Learning Foundation. Was that an intentional misspelling? In Minneapolis. Gonna be huge. Well, we'll also need an elder care facility, an autism care facility, and a transport facility while we are farming subsidies. Sure, why not? Why not? The Melon Learning Foundation for kids who can't read good and can't even fit in the building. What movie? Let me know in the comments. Thank you very much, the Dad Dan, for the generosity and the laugh this morning. Hey, Nacho Man is back again. Thank you, Nacho Man, for your generous support of the channel. He says, thanks for a great year, Jack. Made me some nice dollars this year. Happy New Year to you and the great mods. Right back at you, Nacho Man. I'm glad you had a good year, sir. And thank you so much for all the support of the channel and for the kind words. I appreciate that. May 2026 be just as prosperous for you and yours. Armando Reyes is back and says states are seeking to ban VPNs and end-to-end encryption. Carbon footprints and social credit scores are just the beginning. Pilot is being tested too. I hadn't heard about the VPN ban. Is that a U.S. thing? I wasn't aware of that. I'm not surprised that certain countries will ban VPNs or try to ban VPNs. First, I've heard about it in the States. And oh, yeah, carbon footprints. I mean, like, just do me a favor. Miss me with that carbon footprint bullshit. I mean, if we're talking about building these data centers and we were just talking about how Caterpillar diesel and natural gas generators are powering these massive server farms. And what do they produce? Worthless AI slop. Like, what did I see the other day? A polar bear with a bazooka knocking on somebody's door and then blowing it up. Oh, yeah. Oh, the people who want us to, you know, not travel and pay more for a plane ticket and ride a bicycle to work, the people who want us to do all that and eat bugs and give up our straws are building that bullshit. Yeah, miss me with the whole carbon footprint thing forever. Social credit scores, yeah, that became a reality in 2020. Unfortunately, they tried to turn compliance into a currency, but much of the world rejected that. So I hold out hope for that one. Thank you very much, Armando, for supporting the channel. A fine bit of tinfoiling there. In honor of that, we shall don the tinfoil hat for the duration of the stream. Madison Hype says, tinfoil up. Oh, how fortuitous. We just put it on. AI is the only way human civilization off planet. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Honestly, like if you believe most of the planetary doomerism, then AI is the most surefire way to make sure we never get off this planet. Because if we're all going to die because climate, AI is like indisputably going to make that worse. So then the idea that AI is going to save up, that idea goes right out the window. Again, it's one of the reasons why all these effective altruists are just so full of it. As soon as they have the opportunity to make money, oh, we forget all about climate, don't we? Don't we? I do believe at some point we need to get off this rock. That being said, we are a long, long way away from ever getting off this rock. So let's make making the rock a nicer place to live is probably the better use of our time as we continue to progress as a civilization, hopefully in a forward direction. Thank you very much, Madison, for supporting the channel. And we got another new member, Michael Matusa. Michael or Michael Matt USA, if you want to be all patriotic about it. Thank you, Michael, for supporting the channel, and welcome to the Melonhead, sir. And we got another pink one this morning, Ross Pavy. Thank you so much, Ross Pavy, with the three Vs for the generosity. He says, infinite money glitch. Thanks for keeping us sane during the golden age of fraud. It is. Three cheers for 2026 being the year of mean reversion. From your mouth to God's ears, sir. Absolutely. The year of mean reversion for everything except for gold and silver. I could stay with the gold and silver prices. Everything else can go revert to the mean. I'm good with that. Let's leave the shiny right where it's at. Or dare I say higher. Yeah, just throw it out there. You guys do what you want with them. Thank you so much, Ross, for the generosity, sir. I appreciate that. And Christine Arthurs, thank you for supporting the channel. And she says, thank you, Jack, for getting me to buy silver at $12. Hey, you led yourself there. All I did was fill in the blanks. I don't get anybody to do anything. I just throw it out there. I've got a lot of time on my hands. I've got a nose for bullshit. I've got a big mouth and a YouTube channel. That's pretty much it. Those are my qualifications. But buying at 12, congratulations. Man, you did all right on that $12 trade. Even as silver gets bludgeoned this morning, $12, that leaves plenty of margin there. Congratulations on that trade, Christine Arthurs. And Tom Dillon, thank you, Tom, for the generosity. He says, I'll tell you why I think this article is stupid. Because it's on CNBC. First giveaway there, maybe. Home of Jim Cramer, who should be ringing in the new year in a tent on Skid Row with a gallon of Mad Dog 2020 and peanut butter sandwich. Wow, you really paint a picture with your words there. Maybe some fingerless gloves, standing next to a burn barrel, trying to keep warm, throwing in a couple of booyahs as he shivers there. Sure, why not? Look, Jim Cramer, the one thing, don't let Jim Cramer ever forget about how he relentlessly pumped CoreWeave and, you know, how he debunked the round tripping and the circular accounting narratives, let all that BS go totally unchallenged on his show. Also, you know, like he was talking about how Sam Bankman-Fried was the next JP Morgan and he had Elizabeth Holmes on his show pumping Theranos however many times. Yeah, Cramer's record's getting even longer there. So thank you, Tom Dillon, for the visuals and for supporting the channel, sir. And thank you, everybody, for everything in 2025. I really appreciate all you guys who rang in the new year with us last year, all the way, still here with us today. 2026 is going to be just awesome. Have fun tonight, but be safe, everybody. Thank you so much for the generosity of the Super Chats. Thank you also to my magnanimous melon heads on YouTube, Patreon, and Buy Me a Coffee. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Reminder, no show tomorrow. Be back Friday morning. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. I love you guys. Happy New Year. Hallelujah. Holy shit. That's the Tylenol. Until next time, live small and dream big.